desire and interest in your prayers this morning and your attention while we look into the Word of the Lord a little bit. Have you ever heard anybody maybe wistfully or longingly say, "Oh, I wish I had purpose in life. I wish I knew what my purpose was in life." Maybe you've questioned your own purpose. Maybe you look out and it seems like other people have purpose. Seems like you look out and it looks like other people know where they're heading pretty confidently, but maybe you're not sure of your own. Maybe more specifically and importantly, we wonder what God's purpose is for us as individuals. Maybe we know in general what God says in the Word and what He'd like to see in this world. But Lord, what's my purpose? What's my place? We all desire meaningful purpose, don't we? Having meaningful purpose in life is central to having a fulfilled life. And we all desire it. We may define it a little bit differently. We may have different feelings about it. We may talk about it differently or not. But I believe it's something that is put within humanity to desire purpose. So what is purpose? What does that terminology mean? Allow me to read just a little bit. To have purpose means living with clear sense of meaning and direction. Living with a sense of meaning and direction. And motivation that goes beyond day-to-day routine. Particularly when physically able. Different stages in life bring different priorities, and sometimes we can find ourselves in life where our purpose indeed is to be able to just meet the daily routine of life to survive. Understand that. But you know, even in all of that, and in general, as we go through life, we desire to feel like we understand a broader purpose, meaning for our lives. Purpose is about aligning your actions, the things that you do, with values, goals, causes that matter deeply to you and that give life meaning and significance. You see, purpose isn't just about... In fact, I feel like it often has very little to do with the what, with what you do, as much as it has to do with why you do it and how you do it. Does that make sense? Maybe it took me too long to start to understand some of this, but all of us here, we do different things in life. We do some of the same things, but some of us do different things and have been involved with different things in life. And you go out into the world and there's businesses on every corner and there's things to apply ourselves to. And some people make product and they spend their lives as part of a team of people that their objective at the workplace and those four walls are to manufacture and make something, and then you have other people that they spend time taking that product and finding people who value it and trying to sell it. And then there's other people that spend time trying to take care of things and maintaining things. And the list goes on and on and on. And we can live our lives sometimes and we can look at what we're doing and we can say, you know, all I do every day is I go to work and I spend time making this product. And in the end, this thing is just going to pass away. And yet I spend all of my time. I get up in the morning and I drive to work and I do this. And I take a little bit of time and I eat lunch in the middle of the afternoon. And sometimes I watch the clock. And then when it hits that time, then I drive back home and I get home and I eat dinner and I do this. And I go to bed and I get up and I do this over again. And the days start to pile on. And I look at my life and it's like, all I'm doing is making this widget. What does that have to do with anything that matters in this world? I remember one time somebody that I worked with said, we're not working on world peace here. This isn't what we're about here in this place. But it's not so much about what you're doing as much. Sometimes it is, but it's how you do it. It's how you go about making those things, selling those things. It's about when I go to the workplace. It's what is my overall purpose? What is my overall objective? If it is only to manufacture this product that goes out the door and one day is burned up in the end and passes away, then there's probably opportunity. But if that is kind of subsidiary, if that is really almost secondary, it's like, no, that's at this time of my life, that's where the Lord's placed me. And when I get up in the morning and I go, I am going out into the world and I want to show people what Jesus looks like when I face trouble. I want people to know what Jesus looks like on a day-to-day basis. I want to do something in a way that reaches somebody. And yeah, I'm going to spend time doing this. And other people are going to spend their time doing that. And somebody else is going to spend their time taking care of this. But purpose goes beyond that. You follow me? It's not just what you do, but it's why are you doing it and how are you doing it? And in a lot of cases, that's why people with purpose can handle hardship more effectively than people who have no purpose, because they see their struggle as part of something that is bigger than themselves. And so it helps you when you face hardship. Well, there's much that can be said and there's much written on this whole topic of purpose. You can go online, go into the libraries, and it's full of books on purpose and finding purpose and a meaningful purpose and associated value of purpose in life. But I'd like to now listen to Joshua's exhortation and how he summarized his a core purpose and desire in Joshua 24 and 14. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him. Serve Him. Fear the Lord. Now, with all that is going on, give your life to serving His will and His purpose. Look beyond yourself. That's where we get into trouble. When we're trying to find purpose that is centered around me, I'm going to struggle my life through trying to find purpose that fulfills when it's all about me. But if I can lift up my eyes and say, Lord, I now am going to serve your interests. Now I'm serving something that is much bigger than I. And Joshua was giving an exhortation here, and he said, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, those other things that were served above the one true Lord, the gods that you made so much of your life, so much of your purpose about, to serve a God that you lifted up in life above the one true Lord. Put away those gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, in other words, if that's what you decide that you don't want to do, well, choose who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve those gods that were on the other side of the flood, or if you're going to serve the gods in whose land that you're dwelling in now, then that's a decision you can make. And go ahead and do that. That can be your purpose. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What greater purpose can we have in life than making our purpose to serve the Lord with the same determination and motivation that the three Hebrew children had when they told the king in the face of the fiery furnace? Has anybody here been thrown in a fiery furnace that actually had real flames in it? I don't think anybody has. I'd like to hear about it if you have. I don't think we have. However, here's what I found, is that in life, a lot of times, we're faced with this thing, like, if you serve the Lord above everything else, if that's really what you choose to do in life, understand that you're going to have to deal with these consequences that are outside of what is being promoted and valued and lifted up. And it isn't going to be pleasant. And we have a choice to make. I want to make a choice today that regardless of what consequences seem to be out there, that I can be like the three Hebrew children that say, I'm not careful to answer you in this thing, O king. It's not that I'm being disrespectful. It's not that I'm being careless. I don't think that's what they were being careless or disrespectful to the king. What they were saying was, our minds are settled. We've already thought about this. We've already made a decision on what it is that we're going to serve. And I understand that there are these potential consequences that I may not enjoy in this life, some of the temporal pleasures that are promised. And I will just add this as a side note, in parentheses, there is so much that is promised in this world that never comes to pass. They promise so much and deliver so little. And it happens over and over again with people who give their lives to bow down to the idols that are lifted up, that glitter with gold, that looks like this is where it's at. And over and over and over, the end is disappointment. That's a truth. But regardless of what I think that I might be missing out on, my mind is going to be settled. I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, my inspiration message today is to declare to all of us, in the fear of the Lord again, that you have purpose. You have purpose today. And the purpose is not intended to be hidden or a mystery. I don't think the Lord wants us to go through life constantly wondering and questioning what our purpose is, as if it's something that is elusive and hidden, and we have to go to great lengths to try to discover it. I don't believe it's hidden. Don't believe that it's a mystery. And I'd like to speak now further to what I believe are some of the specifics of our purpose. Because really, we've been studying about them for the last couple of Sundays, what our purpose is. Two Sundays ago, we read where Jesus exhorted his disciples that they give to the multitudes. That you feed the multitudes. Wait, were you talking to us? Because we're in a desert place. You must be talking, where do you want us to go get something to feed? No, Jesus said, what do you have? You feed them. And we learn through Scripture that what Jesus wants us to do is that we be willing to give what we have on hand and that he'll give the increase. And that's our purpose. Is that we live our lives not only being willing but stepping out in faith and doing it, taking action to give what it is that we have and trust the Lord with the increase, even if it is just the tail of a fish. Yeah, but Lord, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I don't even have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I just have some bones that don't have a lot of meat on it. Great, give me that. And let me give the increase. And last Sunday, we read where Jesus told us, gave a parable about how the kingdom of heaven was going to be viewed. And what was going to happen on that last great day when he came back to judge, and when he divided the sheep from the goats, and we read where Jesus took special note of the degree by which people served one another by giving what they had. However little that may have been. A drink, a smile, a few clothes, some warmth, some acceptance, some time. And we say, well, Lord, I never saw you. I was looking for purpose my whole life. I was looking for you on the street, Lord. I spent my whole life looking for you so that I could really come through and show you, Lord, that I will do whatever for you. Lord, when did we see you? And he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, these accounts provide perspective. A greater perspective on the passage found in Ecclesiastes 11 that I would like to look at for a few minutes that we have this morning. I'd like to read this as we maybe conclude this little mini-series on the importance of giving and sharing as part of the ordering of our lives and homes. That we're deliberate and intentional about making sure that as we bring order to our lives, as we're intentional about how we live our lives, how our homes are built, what we teach in our homes, and what flows in and comes out of our homes, that we recognize that very key to that is giving and sharing. So in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter in the first verse, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast what? Cast whose bread? What did it say? Cast whose bread? Whose did it say? Your bread. It didn't say cast your spouse's bread. It didn't say cast somebody else's bread. It didn't say go to the store and find somebody else that has something more than what you have. It said cast thy bread. Take what you have.
and cast it, throw it upon the waters, not asking for what you don't have. I'm just asking for what you do have, for the bread that you have. Do you have a smile? Do you have a little time? Do you have the ability to write a short 2-sentence note? I'm thinking about you. I care about you. I'm praying for you. Do you have a little bit of interest to lift your eyes up and off of yourselves for a little while and look up and out to see if there are any Lazaruses sitting by your gate that you pass by every day? The Lord is not asking for you to bring wholesale, complete healing to all of the Lazaruses that may lie at your gate. He's not asking for that. He's saying, cast what you do have upon the waters. The waters. What is that? It's the sea of people that's all around us. The waters. People all around us. Sometimes the tides may feel like they're in. Sometimes we may be in places in life where it feels like the tides have gone out a little bit. But the waters. And they're always, it's always there. And that opportunity is always all around us, all the time. And the exhortation is, take what you have and cast it out upon the waters. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. What does that mean? Be willing to take what you have and give to all kinds. Don't look at it and say, I'll give a portion to 3. Well, I'm going to look out and I'm going to make some decisions how to who exactly it is that I'm willing to give to. This says in the scripture, give of what you have to 7, which represents a complete number. And it's almost like he put a punctuation mark on it and said, and by the way, also to 8. No one's left out. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. You don't know, but that maybe that one that you otherwise would turn from and pass on the other side of the street because for whatever reason, it may be that one's not here tomorrow. It may be that today was the window of opportunity that we had and had something on hand that the Lord wanted to give the increase to for that person, that 8th person, the person that maybe you otherwise would say somebody else is better. And I'm not saying that the Lord's not wanting us to be good stewards of our mind and not to make good decisions, but get a hold of the intent of the scripture. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. All you have is today. If the clouds be full of rain, the next verse says, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree falls toward the south and toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. We can scratch our heads and say, well, what does that have to do with any of this? If the clouds fill up with rain and it's time to fall, the clouds don't look down and say, well, now hold on a second. That ground down there, that looks like it has all it needs. It's flush, it's green, doesn't need water. I think I'm going to pass on my way. The clouds, if they're full of rain, they don't look down and say, you know what, that's a desert spot down there. It really needs rain. I think I'll get it. Or, contrary to that, you know what? There's a river that runs by that barren desert place, and that barren desert place didn't
used that water that they had to do what they needed to do. And so I don't think I'm going to give them my water today. I think I'm going to just pass on my way. No, it says if the clouds be full of rain and they have it to give and there's the opportunity and the Lord's opened up all of the doors, don't be too calculating. Don't overthink whether or not you need to open the doors and let the rain fall. If the tree falls to the south or toward the north in the place where it falls, but that's where it fell. And when the tree's ready to fall, it doesn't look down and say, well, you know what? That's probably not a very good place to fall. I think I'll just stay standing a little bit longer until things change down there. Then I might fall. And here's what I get out of that is that, again, there's balance, there's truth. I'm not saying that God is asking us to go out, and the first person we come to, we just empty everything out on without any thought, without any inspiration, without any help from the Lord and His Spirit to be good stewards of what He's given us. That's not what I'm saying. He's not a God that's a careless God. He's a careful God. But He is a God of love. And I want to say this, that after we read the scriptures about how the sheep and the goats are going to be separated, and that the Lord's going to look down and He's going to see the pattern of our life and the decisions that we make in life with the degree by which we are willing to serve other people and allow the blessings that He gives us to flow into our lives and out to reach others. When I read those things, if I'm going to err on one side or the other, do I help or not help? Are they worthy? Are they not worthy? Are they deserving of it? Are they not deserving of it? Were they good stewards of what they had or were they not? Because if they're not, no way. I get there's part of that. And I'm not discounting that. So I hope you hear me. But if I'm going to err on one side or the other, I want to err on the side of having a heart that's willing to give. And leave the rest into the hands of the Lord. The clouds be full of rain, they emptied themselves on the earth. Ah, now a caution. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Just getting this out of the table. Look, if we are going to live our lives so that, and this just goes along with what we just said. If we're going to live our lives so that every time when there is opportunity to sow, you know, cast seed. So visualize somebody and they've got seed. And they're going to cast the seed to plant the seed. And they go, whoa, wait. I don't know. There's wind in the forecast. It looks like it might be a little windy. Looks like there's some gusts out there. And about the time I throw that seed, that wind's going to probably take it somewhere that was not my intent. And then what good is it? Well, maybe I better withhold. I think I'll wait till a more convenient season. Well, it's time to reap. Whoa, wait a minute. There's rain forecasted. Just about the time I try to do a little reaping here, sure enough, the rain's going to come. And it's going to spoil this and it's going to mess it all up. So I guess maybe I better just hold up on that. What does this say? The person that observes the wind. That's the way we're going to live life. Probably not going to do a whole lot of sowing. And if you don't do a lot of sowing because there's always reasons not to sow, then we're going to get to the end of the way. And we're going to stand before the Lord. And say, you were trusting in yourself the whole time and you missed the point. Just sow. I can turn the winds. I can change the winds. I can give the increase in ways that you never understood, but you didn't sow. You buried what I gave you. He said, oh, it's just one talent. Is it going to do any good? Somebody else can do better. You buried it. You didn't allow me to give the increase. He that observeth the clouds shall not sow. And he that regardeth the rain, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds, that's how you're going to live your life. There's not going to be any reaping. Always seems to be good and justifiable reasons, doesn't there, to not sow, to not reap. It's almost like the writer is just going to get this on the table, get it out there so we can look at it, acknowledge it, so that we can take it back off the table and not allow that to be what guides us in life. Because he goes on, he said, look, as thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who make it all. There's a whole lot of things you don't understand, he's telling us. You don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know how I can give the increase. You don't understand the depths of which I work. You don't even understand the miracles that are happening right in front of your eyes. How the bones do grow in the womb of her that's with child. And just like that, you don't understand the works of God who maketh all. And because of that, because in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether this will prosper or that'll prosper, or whether both of them will be alike good and prosper. You don't know if it might be good in the morning, in the night, whether they both, because it is in the hands of the Lord. And we are just doing our part. It seems to me that this provides us with some Bible purpose from morning till night, doesn't it? Central to our purpose, central to serving God, is having a purpose to show love and goodness to other people, to continue to do what you know is right to do. Not being distracted by what you don't understand. Don't be distracted by what you don't have.
That's what we like to do in our minds. That's what the enemy will try to do with us. Distract us with what you don't understand. Oh, but you don't understand this. Oh, but you don't have this to give, and distract us from the need that is out there. We're going to miss it if that's what we do. My Bible here says at the very top, directions for charity. My Bible also says faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is what? What does it say? Charity. And yet the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And hope, that's foundation of the gospel. It's the hope of the gospel. We've got to have those things. And yet, it says, without charity, without love in action, without godly love, these other things that we may profess with our lips become empty noise if we don't have love. If we don't have a life that shows love to other people. And I want to encourage you this morning to resist the temptation to minimize the value of making this your primary purpose in life. It's part of the Great Commission to go out and show Jesus to the world around us. Sometimes it reaches outside of our homes more than other times. And sometimes our efforts are focused right in our living room.
Be faithful. Be faithful. Whether it's in your living room with your children, your spouse, those that come in, or if the Lord calls you out, or both, in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand, because you don't know whether she'll prosper, one or the other, or perhaps both. And I want to bring this message to a conclusion by saying this. Do we always see the fruit of our labor? Is that the litmus test of whether or not we should serve other people, is if we see the fruit of our labor? It's not the litmus test. And not seeing the fruit of our labor does not mean that what we're doing must be wrong. Some time back, we mentioned the keeper of the lighthouse. Remember back when they used to have lighthouses, people used to live in the lighthouse, and their job was to make sure that light was turning? Do you think that they saw every time a ship averted disaster because of that light? I doubt it. Imagine there were many times they didn't see any of that. That mean that their purpose was of no use? Do we ever feel that way? All I do, I just sit up here and I just keep this light going, but I really don't always see anything good come from it. And it seems like I'm just confined to this room up here. What's the point? Nobody comes this way anyway. You ever feel that way? Paul said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Why that exhortation? Because we will get tired in mind, we'll get tired in body, but the exhortation is resist becoming tired. Resist failing to see the value in continuing to do what you know is right and serving other people. Because folks, doing right and being a light matters. Yes, this morning, you have present and valuable purpose. I don't believe that the Lord has put it upon us all to search our whole lives through to find that elusive, unique, individual purpose, although He has that He can show and reveal to us. But I believe that the Lord wants us to be encouraged to rise up, be about our Father's business, because the Father has made His business of serving other people our purpose. Let's be encouraged and challenged today. Amen.